And it hits me, oh my gosh, this is that triangle.
You know, there's explanation for everything that occurred in the Rendlesham Forest incident that doesn't involve aliens at all.
It was completely silent. It comes right over our heads.
He saw a classic flying saucer, really, standing in a clearing.
He turned over to my father and held his hand, and he looked in his eyes and he said, "We're not alone."
Welcome to Podcast UFO for our live show. We're live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Please remember to visit the website podcastufo.com for past episodes, blogs, and forums. During the show, feel free to participate live in our chat room. And don't forget to like us on our very active Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. This is Martin Willis, your host, and we have a great show coming up for you this evening. Robert Davis, Ph.D., he'll be talking about his new book, The UFO Phenomenon, Should I Believe? And that's actually part of the title. I'm not saying should I believe. Anyway, I just got it in the mail a few minutes ago, so I probably won't have that read by the time Robert is on. And he'll be coming up after Alejandro Rojas from Open Minds TV. He'll be talking about the latest UFO events. Now, don't forget, we have some new T-shirts on our website, and it has a nice image on it. Nice looking shirts. They're only $19.99 with free shipping in the continental U.S. And I'm also going to have my T-shirts available where? At the UFO, well, I should say the International UFO Congress next week in Phoenix, right outside of Phoenix, Arizona. And by the way, I'll be coming at you live on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Right there, on site. And I have Tom Reed is going to be joining us so far, plus more, I hope. We'll see what happens with that. If you're at the show, please don't be shy. Come say hi to me. And you can even hang out. Just please, if you're going to have your tinfoil hats, just leave them at home. Otherwise, you're welcome to hang out with me and talk. It'll be fun to meet up with some people. And I know there has to be people listening to this show that will be there. It just has to be. And I want to thank everyone for their support. This is a time I want to do a quick little shout-out. If you are subscribing for $5 or more a month, I will shout-out your name. And I'm not going to use your full name unless you ask me to. A few people emailed me, say, if you've been listening to me since I have done this server migration, my email has gone up somewhere into the digital ether, and I have no idea who it was that said I could use her full name. So I'm going to start out. Our number one supporter is Philip S., Donna K., Gary O., Robin, no last initial there, Mary Ann N., Jordan B., Ed S., Dan B., David M., Anders J., David M. again, Sid R., Todd L., John S., Mark P., Chuck A., Bobby H., Jeremy Z., Frank B., Jethro J., Randall S., Robin D., Bill E., Alan S., Daniel M., Gabe W., Bruce F., James Roberts, Bruce R., Brett Jones, and Richard G. Thank you all very much. And thank you, other, you know, the dollar supporters. That's great, too. And thank you for listening, even if you're not supporting us. And, you know, that's enough for me talking. It's about time we bring in Alejandro. How are you, Alejandro?
Good, but you left a couple names out.
I did. I probably
did. You left out, yeah. You left out IP Freely and Seymour Butts.
I always forget those, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're on the lower level anyway. You know, they're the dollar a month. Yeah.
Those cheapos.
Yeah. So what's happening for the news?
So, yeah, I'm going to kind of bring you some news. I'm a little disjointed. It's not that I'm having a bad attitude about stuff. I'm just tired. I'm a little jet lagged. So I'm not totally caught up because we on the news, because, of course, we've been swamped with this UFO Congress stuff.
So you're basically saying you're not on your game today.
Yeah, not on my game.
And that's okay.
I want to talk more about, like, just my life and what's been going on.
Okay. Hey, look, next week you will not be you won't even have time to breathe next week. So, you know, no news next week when I'm live there. If you're walking by the mic, you can pop in and say hi, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I'll try. You never know.
You never know.
It's just, you know, sometimes everything's going smooth, but then something, you know, goes haywire and we've got to run around where someone comes and they're like, you know, I've got a carousel of slides. Can you... I just want you to scan these, and this is going to be my presentation.
they don't wait till last minute.
You know, something like that.
Hey, how many years have you been involved in this yourself?
You know, this is our fifth year where we're running it completely. The year prior to that, the 2008, I was involved where it was kind of a transitional where we were informing people about you know, open minds and how we'd be taking it over. And so I aided in that. And then prior to that, I worked the Congress. I think it was 2006 where I ran the register in the mornings and then watched the lectures in the evenings. So and then even prior to that, I was involved a bit. So it's been a while.
And this is the number one in the whole entire world, is it not?
The whole entire world. As far as we know, I know in China they have a huge organization there. However, I don't know that they have regular conferences. And I've asked Dr. Sun Shi Li, or we have, who runs the group over there, and he says they don't have anything regular annual type of deal. I've heard, you know, of conferences that happen sporadically here and there. But as far as an annual conference, yes, we are the largest. So that's kind of cool.
That is pretty cool. So do we have any – did you get a chance
to
do
it? Mean, I've got some news. Okay. I can't say that I'm well-versed on the details. I was actually in New York the last couple of days. I got to go to a film junket.
So that's the jet lag stuff you're
for,
talking about.
For Chappie, which is a really cool movie. By the way. So, yeah, so that's really cool. But let's see here. This is something Jason just posted this morning, which is this people who are making some bathroom carpets out of that are based off of crop circle designs. So they're very pretty, you know, crop circle design type deals here. So that's kind of cool.
Or is it the other way around? People making crop circles off of bathroom mats. I don't know. But anyway, that's interesting.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You'd have to research that further. there's some cool sightings that MUFON's posted. Roger Marsh, North Carolina witness, says he saw UFO, triangle UFO over military terminal. This one's really neat. This is a video. And the videos are quite large, and they should have put these on YouTube so they could be accessed more easily, but they're like downloadable files. But this is a video supposedly over Red Rocks Amphitheater.
That's in Colorado.
Yeah. In fact, that's where I spent most that's probably where I've seen most of my concerts, because once you go to Red Rocks, because I lived in Denver, you don't want to go anywhere else.
I know.
It's only open the summer. It's absolutely incredible. It's really cool.
I've been to many shows there back in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. Well, and luckily my favorite bands, you know, especially in the 2000s and even in the 90s and stuff, were Radiohead and Bjork were two of my absolute favorites. And they loved Red Rocks, so they would come to Red Rocks almost every year, at least quite often. And so I would go see them every time they went there. And it's just spectacular. So, this is a really interesting kind of circular shaped lights flying over Red Rocks. But overall, MUFON says that their reports are up in January. In fact, they say they have a 44.5% increase in sightings in January compared to December of 2014.
Wow. Do they go per year on something like that? Like, for instance, January last year, there were this many sightings, and it's up
well,
or down?
They could. But they didn't in this case. But that would be really interesting to look at. I have those numbers, so maybe I'll do that at some point. Or, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to sending you my spreadsheet on this if you want to take a look. But they compared it to December. So, but that's an interesting question of how it would compare to January. Usually the summer months are when there are more sightings. I think it's just because there's more clear skies so people can see more and more people outside.
That's right. Yeah.
But that would be interesting to look at.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, there's I think we talked about the Roswell slides. That's making a lot of news. And this is
ongoing.
Still ongoing. And I put a documentary, a trailer to a documentary that it seems one of the photo analysts is going to make on the slides. And in this documentary, you can actually see some more details about the slides. In fact, in one scene, the person is looking at a slide on like a light table. Someone zoomed in on that, enlarged it and fixed it so it wasn't at an angle, so you can get more of an idea of what the slide actually looks like. So it's a little less fuzzied up than the ones that we've seen. And I've got to say that this slide is very, very underwhelming.
Now, do you have a picture? We can put that in the show notes.
Yeah, you know what? I know it's UFO Chronicles has that slide up, and I don't think I'm going to have time to write a story on this and put it up. But
see if I can find that.
UFO Chronicles has it up, so and that's who I tweeted.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Retweeted on and would have gotten the info from. So, you know, that's really interesting. Otherwise, of course, the Stephen Greer thing is still making a lot of noise. Most analysts are quite certain that video was flares, but a lot of discussion about that video we discussed last week as well.
You know, I did a podcast on my other podcast, which is for Antiques and Fine Art, and I spoke with a guy that's running this thing called the Rescued Film Project. And what they do is they find film that's never been developed that was left in cameras or just found in estates.
Yeah. I heard that guy interviewed on NPR recently.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had him on my podcast, and I told him about the alien slides in the middle of the podcast. Mm-hmm. I said, have you ever found anything spectacular like that? And he said, I'll tell you what, if I find any aliens, you'll be the first to know.
Oh, that's good. That's good that he'll let you know, because I think in the United States, for the people who know you, your credibility is higher than that of Jaime Musan's, because, of course, people are kind of disappointed in some of the hoaxes that they feel he's backed in the past. So a lot of people are questioning the wisdom of releasing this slide in Mexico.
Like, yeah, that is kind of curious why they're doing it in Mexico, something that was found here. Is it well, it's probably about the almighty dollar, as they say. You know, and
well, I'll say this, in defense of Don Schmidt and Tom Carey, not so much, because I've been talking to Don Schmidt mostly, so I don't know. It wasn't his decision. It was up to the person who owns the slide.
Yes. Like I believe I said last week, and I hope I'm not repeating myself, is an estate sale person is looking for money, and they don't really necessarily worry too much about something, whether it's alien or whatever else. They just, you know, that's how they make their living, is they buy something and they sell something and make money. So that's most important. Well, that's about it for this week, right?
That's pretty much it, my friend.
All right. So I will see you in person in just a matter of days.
Very excited to see you. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so happy that you're going to be able to make it out. And although we're getting our butts kicked right now to get prepared for it, I have a table full of beautiful T-shirts. I saw yours. Yours is very nice as well. It's going to be a wonderful event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I can't wait. All right. Well, thanks so much, and I'll be seeing you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week, buddy.
All right. So hang in there for the little quick music break, and we'll be right back with Robert Davis. How you doing, Robert?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And I just got your book. You probably heard that in our news segment. But I just got your book a few minutes before. So I've not been able to read it, unfortunately. But we're going to be talking about your book mostly this evening. And we're going to take a break at the top of the hour just for a second, come back on. But I want to know, who is Robert Davis, Ph.D., and how did you get here?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you very much for inviting me on your excellent show. And your listeners could find out more about my book on my website, theufophenomenon.com, and can get my book on Amazon. But as a scientist, I have always found the unexplained very intriguing. And for some unknown reason, the UFO phenomenon has stimulated my interest ever since I was a child. And I think it's as intriguing as it gets. And as a baby boomer, we all remember the flying saucer hype and Star Trek episodes over some frozen TV dinners during the 1960s. And although I'd like to see reruns of Star Trek some 50 or so years later, which I would find engaging, I also find this phenomenon to be as well. And it clearly presents very unique topics of debate and research challenges that, once adequately addressed, if it can be, may have very important implications for science and society. But what really motivated me to write this book was when my wife and I visited Sedona, Arizona, probably one of the most beautiful cities in not only America but the world, when we observed an orange orb at night, and while observing it, we saw another one either emerge from that one or from behind it. And they both remained stationary for a period of time until they blinked out. Then I said, I'm writing a book. And this book, in a sense, was intended to evoke, shall I say, critical thought of the extraordinary phenomenon that encompasses this field that we call ufology. And I don't intend to convince the UFO skeptics and believers that some unexplained UFOs are governed by alien beings, or that all UFOs can be explained as natural and or man-made phenomena. The primary goal of this book was to simply present the evidence, theories, topics for debate, and scientific analysis so that we can possibly better understand the phenomenon, and especially the force that governs and regulates its behavior, which we do not know.
Now, just going back to, well, first of all, just let me just throw this out there. If you're listening live, please jump into the chat room and join us, and I'm in there as well, and you can ask our guests a question. That's at podcastufo.com. Takes you two clicks to get in there. So how long ago was this sighting you had in Sedona?
It was in 2012.
Oh, so this is recently. And have you been more or less keeping your eye on the topic all along here, or is this something you just dove right into?
No, I've been curious about the subject matter for my entire life. I've certainly read many books on the issues of the UFO phenomenon, but I've been frustrated because you keep hearing about the same various incidents, such as Roswell, the Phoenix Lights, among many other types of mass sightings that lead many researchers to continue to address as the so-called smoking gun that proves that UFOs are aliens from either another solar system or dimension or is a paranormal manifestation of some type. But the existence of UFOs does not necessarily mean that such craft are from another solar system or dimension. It simply indicates that it's an unexplained object in the sky. And more often than not, it's a weather balloon, a satellite, an atmospheric event, or certainly an advanced aircraft. Or if quantum physics can possibly explain the phenomenon associated with it. But the more elusive question, I think, is does the collective evidence provided provide undeniable confirmation that non-human intelligent beings are operating UFOs and interacting in very unusual ways with humans. So I think my position on the phenomenon can best be phrased as that of an agnostic. And based on the analysis of the evidence, which is provided in countless books, many are good, many are far-fetched, I'm simply not able to commit to a belief in either the existence or non-existence of intelligently controlled UFOs of non-earthly origin or from another dimension. I simply do not know. And I think most people don't know, although some leading UFO researchers contend that they do know. But
right. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, there's highly unusual aerial events that defy logical explanation. I don't think anybody will dispute that seriously. But nevertheless, the recent foundation for research into extraterrestrial experiences, this is known as FREE, the Foundation Again for Research into Extraterrestrial, if I recall the last term, encounters. This is a recent not-for-profit organization that was developed by PhD physicists and psychologists and various scientists, physicians, and experiences are those people who have had some form of contact with non-human intelligent beings. And it's an attempt to bring together this the diverse group to study the subject areas of human encounters with non-human intelligence and related paranormal phenomena. And their goal, which I support, is to determine through scientific research with contactees with non-human intelligence and the paranormal and its relationship with quantum physics, consciousness, the paranormal, and non-human intelligence. And I encourage any of your listeners who believe they have been abducted by, let's just say, a UFO, or have had unique experiences with non-human intelligent beings to visit their website, which is experiencer.co. It's not com, but .co, experiencer.co, and take phase one of their survey. And there's also information on their website that allows them to contact various individuals, such as the co-founders, Christina Knowles and Ray Hernandez, to provide some related information for them to share their unique experiences. And their goal is also to determine if quantum physics can explain the phenomenon associated with this phenomenon. And essentially, this is the first scientific research that has been undertaken in this field.
Yes, I had Christine on a few weeks ago, actually, talking about this. And, you know, I have to say, you're the first person that I can recall on this show that brought up the quantum physics thing. And it's kind of ironic because a couple of days ago, I was watching a documentary on dark matter, and I started thinking about quantum physics, and maybe there's some type of relationship between quantum physics, which is so hard to explain anyway. You know, if you just the space inside of an atom alone is crazy, if you think about it, how and then the vast reaches of the solar system, the universe, all that. And I started thinking, I wonder if there's some type of relationship between this and the forces of dark matter as well. You know, I mean, it's such a topic that, you know, it's such a hard thing to explore to begin with. You know, I know they have what am I thinking of? In CERN, the splitter there. You know what I mean? I just can't think of the name of it right now. But, you know, I know they're doing a lot of research there. But that's fascinating. I've never even thought about the UFO topic and quantum physics. But
well, I think this is the direction that many scientists should take. And again, this foundation is attempting to do this because although quantum physics is highly theoretical and it incorporates the theories of multiverse or several dimensions which coexist with our own reality, a concept supported by Stephen Hawking and Dr. Kaku, it might very well explain the phenomenon that we are observing. In other words, it might be extra-dimensional. Although it's highly theoretical, certainly, according to quantum physics, a particle is in a constant state of flux where it can be determined to be anywhere or in many places at the same time. So if some UFOs use quantum mechanics to bend space and time and our consciousness, then it might explain how the same UFO could appear as two separate objects at the same time. And this is often the case. So if real physical effects can enter and leave our reality and appear different to different people, which it does, then it would indicate that our reality is not as real as we perceive it to be. And if reality is not fixed, then that has important implications for UFOs. And maybe that's why we can't understand the UFO phenomenon, because we simply don't have the scientific principles at present.
Yes.
And our principles simply don't apply. But again, this is what Free is attempting to discern. It's like if you split an atom. This is a true experimental event. You split an atom, and you separate them by vast distances. And if you manipulate one, the other one also responds accordingly, or
entanglement.
Moves in an opposite direction.
Yeah.
Right. And that is bewildering, certainly, to scientists. But it might explain how physical objects have an influence on one another despite the space-time continuum. So UFOs may very well be explainable by this, although certainly it's theoretical and unproven at the present time.
Right. Right. So when you started writing your book, and again, I apologize that I haven't even had time to go through it. I was breezing through it real quickly, but while I was getting ready for the show, I see that you cited a number of incidences in there, you know, historical incidences. And was that just so you could explain what was known about these things and what was what conclusions were?
Well, I did provide many of the incidents which are fairly common and debated about by many leading ufologists who conclude that, again, UFOs represent non-human intelligence from another solar system or dimension. But it is the scientific community considers ufology a pseudoscience because they see a lot of UFO researchers make these kinds of conclusions based on limited evidence or lack of tangible evidence to study.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, it gives ufology a bad name.
Right.
I don't think we can make firm, irrefutable conclusions, yet many do. Which is unfortunate because we cannot apply the scientific method to this phenomenon, at least not yet, simply because we may not have, again, the proper scientific principles in which to apply the scientific method to in order to satisfy the scientific academic community into believing that there is something real about these UFOs. So we have the believers and the skeptics as well as the debunkers. And it goes on and on. And we're still debating this issue, yet for decades, very little, if any, progress has been made in terms of our understanding of this phenomenon.
Right.
And thus, I think we need to go in a different direction. And that foundation, the acronym again is FREE, F-R-E-E, may be headed in the proper direction. It certainly remains to be seen. But quantum physics may hold the key that unlocks this mystery. At least it is certainly worth the effort. In fact, Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, is a member of this foundation,
yes,
as well as I mentioned, many leading high-powered scientists from a diverse range of professions. And I'm happy to say that I am also a member of this foundation, and they are currently conducting research on using contactees who have reportedly been claimed to have been abducted or have had, again, very unique, strange, and we'll use the term paranormal-like experiences with non-human intelligence of various kinds. So, I did provide some of the more common UFO-related incidents, like the sightings in Washington, D.C. in 52, of course, the Roswell, Stevensville encounter, the Phoenix Lights, Hudson Valley wave back in the 80s. Well, it goes on and on. But ufologists continue to survey the documents released by the government and the Project Blue Book, which was also recently declassified, and numerous other countries have also declassified documents pertaining to the UFO phenomenon. But what does it prove? It proves that there's something very strange occurring in mm-hmm. our skies as well as at the land where people encounter non-human intelligence in various strange ways. So some of these incidents are quite remarkable, however. But there is an absence of a widely approved theory of the phenomenon.
Right.
We cannot study it using, our own scientific principles. So where do we go? Where do we go from here? You know, in fact, in my book, I devote one chapter, coincidentally, to trying to explain what we need to do to better understand this phenomenon. And I mentioned that we do need an organization whose governance structure leads a multidisciplinary team of scientists from a diverse range of fields to better study this phenomenon. hopefully being funded by either private or public organizations, and among other related issues. And quite surprisingly, this foundation, FREE, is attempting to do just that, a serious scientific review. And there has been limited scientific investigations. But this brings into mind the Project Blue Book and Dr. Alan Hynek, who all ufologists and non-ufologists have probably heard of. He was an astrophysicist from The Ohio State University who was the director and main scientific advisor to Project Blue Book, which was conducted back in the 60s, the 70s. And initially, he was a skeptic. But after having studied several hundred UFO-related incidences, he became a believer. And interestingly, he reported that the UFOs maneuver with ease in our skies. They're unaffected by gravity and inertia. They hover a few feet above the ground, and then obviously accelerate at tremendous speeds with little effort, without any noise. And he described the appearance and the behavior of UFOs as luminous objects surrounded by a haze. They can become invisible, and then a few seconds later they can appear a short distance away. They can shape, shift, or modify their physical structure. They remain stationary. They move in make angular turns. Your listeners have heard this all before, and of course you have. They produce electromagnetic effects. There are some physical ground traces as well, where they land. They leave landing marks, radiation. They disturb the soil. They can petrify wood. And they also induce physiological effects in humans. That's comparable to electromagnetic or radiation-like effects. And people feel sensations of heat, paralysis, nausea, irritation of the eyes, etc., as well as paranormal-related events, such as missing time. He concluded in a report to the members of Congress, and I believe it was in 1978, regarding the phenomenon, and he said that this is a mystery so profound that it may be related to extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional possibilities. He certainly did not exclude that, but he was firmly committed to the belief, based on his experience, that something quite unique was occurring that defies logical explanation. So right. who am I to argue with him? You know. Uh-huh.
So just a couple of things here. Well, a few weeks ago, I was down in Miami and with some friends, and they said one of the people said, "So you actually believe in UFOs?" And I thought for a second, and I said, "Well, it's more what I believe about UFOs. I do believe that they are here, but I'm certainly not going to tell you what I think they are." And that's really how I feel. Sometimes I can be a little bit redundant, but I think it's a point worth saying, and that is it may be something that we absolutely haven't even thought of or couldn't even think of, you know, to begin with. That's what it might all be about. And that's why I find it fascinating, this quantum physics pitch, that's not pitch, but thought or theory that you have. Pretty interesting. Let's just hit a couple of things in your book here. One of them, one of the chapters, it's titled The Psychological and Sociological Theories. And what do you cover in that chapter?
Well, there are, under those theories, such as the psychological and sociological theories, it attempts to explain UFOs and the alien abduction reports. And this theory contends that there is either a conscious or subconscious recall from the media, or a heightened, shall we say, level of gullibility that's influenced by society. Carl Jung, the psychotherapist who founded analytical psychology, was a proponent of the psychocultural hypothesis and paranormal theory to explain the phenomenon. But he essentially said UFOs developed out of our society's interest with space flight and was reinforced by media hype of aliens and flying saucers. And again, this was more commonplace, I think, back in the 50s and 60s than it is now. Although with recent TV shows, and there are many of them coming on, more people, I think, are beginning to be interested in this phenomenon. But they all, this psychological, sociological theory that you mentioned also contends that many of those who have had UFO experience may have physiological or psychological problems, like temporal lobe epilepsy, or fantasy-prone personality, or are deluded in some way. But I don't buy that. Because I don't buy that theory, because the strong argument against it is that many sightings involve multiple witnesses, simultaneous radar and visual sightings. It's hard to explain that on a psychological level, although certainly some UFOs may be explainable on that basis. But we don't only have that theory, which you mentioned, but certainly the extraterrestrial and extra-dimensional theory. And there's a great debate about that. The extraterrestrial theory, for instance, obviously maintains that UFOs are governed by non-human intelligence from another solar system. Well, look, our closest solar system is, what's the name, Proxima Centauri, is about 4.2 light years away. I think that's something like 7 trillion miles, and if we have our space shuttle, which I believe travels at 25,000 miles an hour, it would take 100,000 years to get there, unless we have these beings can access wormholes or bend space and time, which Stephen Hawking, among other leading physicists, contend is quite possible, which may allow for them to get there, to here, in maybe a blink of an eye, or not. But the extra-dimensional hypothesis implies that non-human intelligence is operating these crafts from another dimension or parallel universe. And that brings into play the highly theoretical nature of quantum mechanics. But the extraterrestrial hypothesis, that has been the predominant explanation for UFOs. But many people have abandoned it, in a sense, in favor of the extra-dimensional hypothesis, which again says that beings coexist with us in a parallel reality, as strange as that might sound. So I'm not one to disagree with people like Stephen Hawking or Dr. Kaku, but again, this is highly theoretical. Yet they are supporters of this notion that there are beings in coexisting realities, and maybe that's where we should go with research in terms of quantum physics. And again, we don't have a firm, objective grasp on that theory. Maybe someday, I expect, we will. But this foundation that I have mentioned a few times is trying to examine that possibility through a variety of different ways. And that's why there are some leading physicists on that committee who certainly may provide some unique insight into that explanation of the this phenomenon. It is a branch of physics that deals with physical phenomena at microscopic levels is very certainly controversial. But it is, again, promoted as a possible explanation for the phenomenon. And it might provide a realistic approach or something that we should further pursue in a formal, organized manner. And this is what Free is attempting to explore. And whether or not they're successful certainly remains to be seen. But regardless, we do need that type of organized scientific investigation by many scientists from many different disciplines. So,
yeah, for them to be taken seriously, you know, that's the issue. You know, they'd have to be someone that could actually have, say, a peer-reviewed paper or something like that. Because this, you know, this subject, as you know, is so far out there. I am having trouble with the chat room, but it doesn't mean that people that want to be in the chat can't be in there and communicate with themselves, with each other. But I see past someone wrote, what kind of scientists are you? Do you have a background that helps you in this type of study to be on that board as well?
My background as a scientist will hopefully allow me to provide some insight into the methodology that's needed to better understand this phenomenon as a contributor to the foundation. But I will also be involved in surveying, obtaining quantitative and qualitative information from so-called contactees or people who allegedly claim to have had some type of experience with non-human intelligence, whether they were abducted by a UFO and went through what David Jacobs and John Mack contend people go through in terms of being taken from their home, being transported through the wall and taken on the ship and undergo various types of biologic experiments. But the experience tends to be relatively the same across many individuals who have had such strange encounters. And it's not only limited to the abduction phenomenon, but my background as a scientist in audiology and hearing science doesn't really directly make me qualified to provide answers to this question. I think I can provide some unique contributions, nevertheless, to the study of the phenomenon using the scientific method, which really has not been done in any systematic and consistent way in the past. Again, most of the, if not all, of the UFO studies are basically retrospective. You know, even now, people still look at the Roswell incident where, you know, supposedly, of course, a UFO crash. We took some dead alien bodies. Maybe we took them to some underground base somewhere out in the Southwest. The government's covering it up. The point is, people continue to rely on this retrospective analysis of prior events, debating it continuously, and nothing gets resolved doing that, or reviewing the documents that have been declassified, and debating that as well as whether or not there's a smoking gun there. Now, there's no question through the Disclosure Project led by Stephen Greer and Steve Bassett, there's no question that the testimony provided by pilots, both military and civilian, radar experts, government officials, among others, contend that they have very strange encounters with UFOs, and some of their experiences are unbelievable. There's no doubt they experience something that cannot be easily explained, especially when these craft mitigate laws of inertia and gravity and move up to 9,000-12,000 miles per hour, among other types of physical events that we simply don't understand. I don't think anybody can dispute that. The point is, while these experiences are common, I don't deny that, the question is what governs and regulates the behavior of these UFOs. And we're talking about maybe 5 to 10% of all UFOs that have remained unexplainable, according to Project Blue Book and many other investigations into this phenomenon. There's that small percentage that remains unexplained. Now, again, it doesn't mean that it's non-human intelligence from another dimension or solar system or a paranormal event. It could be. It could be, and I don't exclude that possibility. But, you know, when UFOs levitate cars or people, and when people get into some type of close encounter with a UFO or beings, they contend they develop, for instance, psychic abilities or special healing powers. And many of them are conscious when they are abducted. Most aren't. And most recall their abduction or so-called paranormal experience with non-human intelligence through hypnotic regression, which is highly debatable. And certainly our court of law does not regard recall under hypnosis as a valid means of evidence, although hypnosis is helpful in many other ways. But about 30%, I believe, of those who have had these kinds of experience have conscious recall of it. I'm not going to argue with some of these leading scientists who again contend that we might be looking at a paranormal event or an extra dimensional theory that governs and regulates the behavior of this phenomenon because of the seemingly bizarre nature of experiences by individuals. So I guess we can also look at the paranormal theory, which is tied into the extra-dimensional theory as well. And I believe it was Jacques Vallée who coined the term, remember, high strangeness,
mm-hmm.
Which relates to some of the experiences we're talking about. And it kind of resides at the fringe along the UFO theory continuum, especially since what we call paranormal, it can't be measured or explained using the scientific method. And given the high strangeness of the phenomenon, any theory to explain these unusual aerial events or types of encounters is certainly met with a high degree of skepticism by the scientific community. That's why mainstream science regards ufology in part as a pseudoscience. And in part, they're very reluctant to get involved with research in this phenomenon, certainly for fear of ridicule by their colleagues. And because throughout the decades of investigating this phenomenon, as far as I'm concerned, we have made very little, if any, progress to better understand the phenomenon, despite, again, decades of analysis and research. And if we continue along the same lines, unless a flying saucer, so-called, lands on the White House lawn or is on CNN breaking news, we're still not going to have any reasonable understanding of the phenomenon unless we take a different route and possibly looking into this quantum physics and applying it to the phenomenon and trying to better understand how this may influence one's consciousness and reality, which it might explain the unusual features of this phenomenon, since it affects people in very profound ways. So when these UFOs shapeshift, they materialize and dematerialize. People report aliens floating through structures and having telepathic communication with them, or experiencing lost time, or being abducted by beings. This falls under, again, that paranormal theory, which probably isn't a good term to use. It's something that simply cannot be explained by scientific principles, so we call it paranormal. And people also report encounters with very strange creatures and have these poltergeist-like phenomenon associated with UFOs. And here again, if we're talking about the paranormal, some people develop psychic powers, such as telepathy or psychic healing, or reports of being threatened by what's it called, men in black, who apply pressure in order to silence them. Now, I don't know if they're members of a secret government organization or what, or people see apparitions, which sometimes attack them. But, you know, I can go on and on with specific cases that people allegedly have reported. That's incredible and very, very difficult to believe. Yet these cases persist, and we can get into that high strangeness in more detail if you like, but it's wild. But plasma too is another possibility of a physiologic event that might help explain some of the 5 to 10% of UFOs that are considered unexplained. And plasma, which is like ball lightning and is poorly understood, it carries electrical current, and it generates magnetic fields. And it actually comprises, and you mentioned this earlier, dark matter. It comprises more than 99% of the visible universe. And it, again, it's not fully understood by modern science. But what's interesting about plasma is that it's very similar to many reports that people contend about their experience. In other words, that plasma can appear as many different colors. It has a fuzzy appearance. It can split into two or more separate parts. It rotates in a nonlinear fashion. It can emit light. The point is, it behaves in many ways that are similar to the behavior of UFOs as expressed by many people.
That's right. We're at the top of the hour, and I would like to say in the second hour, I would like to discuss more about plasma. I have a few questions about that. In the second hour, we're going to be taking phone calls from anyone listening live. Well, that's it for the show tonight. Hey, by the way, we have a great new blog on our website, podcastufo.com, written by a Belgian about the Belgian wave back in 1989 to 1993, and still ongoing, as some say. Remember, you can listen to the second hour of the show by becoming a subscriber for as low as $1 per month. All that information is on our website. I want to thank everyone for helping out with the show today. Alejandro Rojas for the news, and our guest, of course, Robert Davis, Ph.D., Carrie Lloyd Whitehouse for the music, and I want to thank Peggy Shunning for managing our Facebook page. Remember to like us on Facebook for all the latest UFO news. Don't forget, I'll be in Arizona next week coming at you live at the International UFO Congress on the Dark Matter Radio Network. This is Martin Willis reminding you to keep your eyes to the sky.